Well, Katav, welcome back to another in our ongoing series of Shirim on Daf Yomi. We are now in Ketubot Daf Yud Chad Amud Bet, and about to begin the third Mishnah in the second parak, which continues on the theme of the second Mishnah, which is grounds for believing someone when they are the only source of information that is to the detriment, and then we'll believe them when they put an addendum on that claim that actually puts a different spin. In the first case, which is Mishnah Bet, we saw the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua, that if a man says, yes, that was your father's field, but I bought it from him, and the fellow has no corroborating evidence that it was his own father's field, then we believe him. And if there is other evidence that it was the father's field, then we don't. Similarly, here, Ha'edim Sha'amru, Ketav Yadenu Huzeh, witnesses are brought to discuss a shtar that their names are written on as the witnesses, our son on as the witnesses, and they say, yes, indeed, that is our signature. We were either coerced at the signing, we were minors at the time and therefore invalid, we were invalid witnesses at the time, perhaps we were, one of us was related to one of the signers, one of the parties to the deal at the time, or perhaps we were a Vayanim at the time. In any case, that's what they're saying. Ha'elu nemanim, they're believed to invalidate the shtar. If there are other witnesses that can testify that is their signature, if we have another source to substantiate their signature, in other words, we have testimony that's their signature, and the substantiation of the signature has an external support, then they're not believed anymore. Now, Rabbi Bar Chama makes a comment about this, and the first approach that he takes, or that he evidently takes, just doesn't work, and then we will reverse it. Amar Rami Bar Chama, Lo Shanu Ela Shamru Anusim Hayinu Machlat Momon. The only time that we don't believe them in the Seifa is if their claim is that we were coerced financially. Either we were threatened that money would be taken away from us, something to that effect. Aval Anusim Hayinu Machlat Nefashot. But if they say we were threatened with bodily harm, then Hareilu Nemanim. And even if there's testimony that that is their signature, and they claim, yes, but we are forced under a gun at our heads, then they are believed and invalidated. Marley Rava, Kol Kimine, Rava says, does the witness have such power? Kevin Shigit, Shuven Choser Magid. There's a general rule about testimony that you cannot recant testimony. And once their testimony is in the shtar that indicates that the deal was a valid deal, and then turn around and say, no, it wasn't, then they can't do that. And you might want to argue that Kivan Shigid Shuven Chozer Magid is only when he is actually Magid, when he is saying the testimony, and not when it's written in the shtar, that you may perhaps can recant written testimony. There's a famous statement of Rish Lakish that once Edim are written onto a shtar, it's as if they were quizzed and queried about the case and came out clearly knowing what the case was because they signed on to the shtar, which means that anything that's on shtar is regarded as being also al peh. So Rami Bar Chama's statement can't work. Elohi Yidmar, Reisha Yidmar. When Rami Bar Chama said it, he must have been saying it about the Reisha when they are believed. When do we believe them if they say, that is our handwriting, and nobody else could substantiate it? It was our handwriting, but we were forced. That's only machlat nefashot. We were forced with the threat of bodily harm. Well, Amru Hani, Anusim Hayinu Machlat Mamon, if it's financial coercion, Ein Nemai, they're not believed. My time up. Why are they not believed? And Adam Esim Atzmo Rasha, I put a little note about this on top of the page. A person cannot declare himself to be a Rasha, which means that if a person testifies to something in court, this is not exactly the Fifth Amendment. Somebody testifies to something in court which puts him in the status of a Rasha, that testimony is not accepted. And therefore, by saying, I signed a false document because of the threats to my financial well-being, which is something I should not have done, we just don't believe the statement. And we believe that he signed it properly, and that now for some reason he's coming up with the story. Now, Tanu Rabbanan, Ein Nemanim in the Poslo, Divrei Rameir. Rameir disagrees with our Mishnah, and he says that Edim are trusted to invalidate the shtar. Chachamim Nemanim. Chachamim disagree, that's our Mishnah. We understand what the Rabbanan's reason is. That's following from Mishnah Bet. After all, I'm the only source you have for saying that is my signature, so you also have to believe me that it was done improperly. Our mayor might tell me, what does our mayor say? If people come, nobody knows who these guys are. And they say, that's us. That really is our signature. And we are forced. We are pasul something. We don't believe them. We only accept the first half that who substantiated their signature. So bishtum apsule edut, I understand if they come and say we're psulim, malve gufe mikarme dektaikum echtam. The malve himself, the lender, is going to make sure to have proper edim. So when these guys come and say, oh, we were ganovim, we were gamblers, we were krovim, whatever, so we don't believe them because we know the malve would never have such people sign on to a shtar. Ktanim, nami kener shlokish. Ktanim for the same reason, as shlokish says, the amr shlokish. Do we have a chazaka that Eidim do not sign onto a shtar? We have to reverse this in a minute. That Eidim do not sign on a shtar unless it was done by an adult, meaning that one of the lender or the borrower was an adult. And we flip that and say, in the same way, we know that no malva would have a shtar written on his behalf unless the Eidim are gedolim. So we know that when they claim we're psule Eidim, not we don't believe them. When they claim we're ktanim, we don't believe them. Allah anusi my time up. But how come we don't believe them when they say we were forced? Perhaps the malveh was not really a malveh. Some guy wants to get money out of somebody. So he wrote up a document and he forced these two guys to sign onto the shtar. And now he's going to go collect. The first proposal we have to explain to Meir is somewhat bizarre. And Rechista says as follows. The mayor holds that if Eidim are told, either you sign falsely on the document or we'll kill you, they should allow themselves to be killed. Which means that when they say, we were forced into signing this, effectively they're admitting they did the wrong thing. And again, therefore we don't believe them. So I'm going to Rav turns to Rav Chista and says, Hashta ilu atu lekam alam luchi, if they came to us to ask us first. The guy said, you sign it or I'll kill you. And they came to us and asked. We would tell them, sign it and don't die. The Amramar, what's the principle? In the Chad Davar Shemim B'Fidi Pikuach Nefesh, there is nothing that stands in the way of, say, of life. Ela Avodah Zarah, Avodah Kochavim, Gulevar Shulchut Tavim Bilvad. The three main crimes that you have to give your life for, rather do idol worship, forbidden sexual liaisons, or murdering somebody else. Certainly signing a false document, you should sign instead of die. Hashtu Dechotu Aminu Luhu Amaychat Mitu, but now that they did what we would have told them to do had they asked, we're going to tell them, why did you do that? We don't believe them? Doesn't make sense. So Rava says to Rav Chista, La time it or may, you know what Rav's reason is? Could Rav Huna Amar Rav. It follows the reasoning that Rav later explicates. Rav Huna Amar Rav, Modeb Ishtar Shiktavo and Sarich Lekemo. If a Lova says, yes, I admit that that star was written, we already now substantiate the signatures of the witnesses without need for external substantiation. In other words, when the borrower says, yes, indeed, that's a proper shtar and I ordered it written, then the minute that happens, we know that the witnesses are assigned, there are legitimate witnesses. And that means that we're not at all relying on what the witnesses say. That is our handwriting. But the very fact that, and of course that means that we have to be talking about a case where the lova admits that the shtar was written. And the witnesses come forward and say, yes, but we are pasul, whatever. Doesn't matter. We don't listen to them because we're really not listening to them at all. What they say is not of no interest to us. All we care about is once the Lov admitted that he ordered to get the shtar written, we know that it's valid. Good. Now let's continue analyzing that. So Amalei Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman now said to Rav, Gnuve Lamalach. Why are you being so deceptive? Israel Achrab Meir, Emal Achrab Meir. If you hold like Rav Meir, and this is quoting the statement of Rav. This Rav Nachman says to Rav Huna. Rav Huna is quoting Rav, and Rav Nachman then says to him, why are you being deceptive here? If you hold Halachas Achrab Meir, just say Halach Achrab Meir. In other words, don't try to say you've got some new fangled idea. Amarle Umar Hechi Svirale. So he asked Rav Nachman, what do you do? Amarle Ki Atu Lekaman Ladina. Rav Nachman was a great dayan. When they come to us to din, Amrinu Neho Zilu Kim Kaim Ushtareichu B'chutu L'dina. We tell them, you have to be Kaim Ushtar. In other words, even if the Lova comes and says, yes, I ordered that thing written, we still have to find testimony that these witnesses really are the guys who signed on it and that it was legitimate, and then you can go collect the money. Amr Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Ha'omer Shtar Amanahu Zeh. Now we're going to meet several unique, sort of different shtarot. This one is called the Shtar Amanah. What a Shtar Amanah, literally a trust star, not a trust deed, but a trust star, is a star that is written by a lova, and given to a malve, to a lender, who has not yet lent him money. But this borrower feels like he's going to perhaps need to borrow money from the malve at some moment of emergency, and he trusts the malve. He writes a shtar and gives it to him, and he trusts him that he's not going to collect on it. And then, if one day he needs the money, he'll have the shtar be ready. That's called a shtar mana. So if witnesses, well, if somebody comes and says, that was a shtar mana, ain't no naman. We don't believe him. Now, who is it who says it? Tekam or man? Ilayman tekam or love. If it's the borrower who says it's a shtar mana, pshita, kol kamina, obviously he doesn't have the wherewithal to say, that's a shtar mana and I never borrowed the money. Well, tekam or malve. It must be that the malve said that. Aye, tavol abracha. We certainly should believe him. Because he's being a great guy. He's saying, you know what? The shtar is there, but I never lent the money. He doesn't owe it to me. Oh, the Kamri Adim, so it must be that the witnesses said it. Wait a second. If there is substantiation for their signatures, she's with Lomani. Obviously, they're not believed, because that's exactly what our Mishnah says, right? But if they're the only source of their of substantiating the test, their signature, why don't we believe them? So now we're going to have three possible solutions to who it is who said Shtar Mana, who we would think we would believe, and we don't believe. Right? There's got to be a case where we have reason to think we believe it, but in a matter of fact, we don't. Amar Rava, the Olam Nikam Rolove. Rava gives the first solution. And that is the Lova says it's a Shtar Mana. Uchar Ravuna, the Ravuna Amar Rava, whatever Shtar Shtakavo, and Tzarech Lekemo, the halacha that we just saw, which is if somebody agrees that I wrote it, you don't need Kiyum. So now, the Lova says, yes, indeed, I wrote it written, but it was a Shtar Mana. Therefore, we would believe him, and because he's the whole source of substantiating the shtar. The answer is no, we don't believe him that it's a shtar mana, because, of course, it's very much to his benefit. Abaya says, you know what? It's a case where the malva says it's a shtar mana. Why don't we believe him? We should believe him. It's a case where the malva owes money, the same amount of money, to some other guy. And right, this is based on what we call Shibudu de Ravnata. If A owes B money and B owes C money, how do I know C can go directly to A to get the money? Talmud Lomar, the pasuk at the end of in the beginning of Parsha Naso, and Atam Asher Ashamlo, he should pay the one who he owes, meaning even down the line. So if I owe you money, you owe the other guy money, I can pay directly to the other guy, or should we say the other guy can come directly to me to get the money? That Shibura Dov Natan. So because of Shibura Dov Natan, when the Malva comes and says, Shtar Manahu, then I would have reason to think that we would believe him, because it's the Malva, but because he's hurting a third guy who is now standing to collect and now is not going to collect, therefore we don't believe him. All right, the third possibility is Ravashi. Ravashi, Marli Olam, the Kamri Adim. You know who said it? It's the Adim saints of Shtar Manahu. Who De'ang Tav Yadam Atzad Makom Acher, where they're the only source of substantiating the testimony. So he says, so why aren't they believed? After all, in our Mishnah, when they say Psula Edu Tayinu, we believe them. The answer is Krav Kana. He says, you're not allowed to hold on to a Shtar Mana. Shtar Mana is a bad thing, for obvious reasons, because the Malv may come to collect it without having lent the money. The Pasuk Niyov says, do not keep a sinful thing in your house. In other words, a Shtar Mana. And therefore, when the Edim come and say it's a Shtar Mana, we don't believe them because it goes against what proper practice is. What do we learn from the statement of Rav Kahana? Edim shamru hayu amana hayu tvareinu. If witnesses come and say, yes, that's our signature, but what we were signing was an amana, ain't a money, we don't believe them. My taima came into avlahu avla lochadli, since having a Shtar Mana around is a bad thing. Therefore, they would not sign on a bad thing. And if they say they did, then ain't no domicile for Rasha. Either way, we can't believe them. Now, Amar Yishuv and Levi, we're going to expand this a little bit. You're not allowed to hold on to a shtar parua, meaning a shtar which has already been paid off. I have a shtar for $100,000, and I come to collect it, and the guy pays me $100,000. I'm not allowed to keep it anymore, for the obvious reason. I may try to double dip. Quotes the same pasuk. The Maravam, Yishmei the Ravamri, in Eretz Yisrael, they would quote Rav and say, in Avin Biyadach Archikehu, that's the beginning of that same pasuk in Eov, you can see it's pasuk 2 on the page, if you have a sinful thing in your hand, get rid of it. Zer shtar mana ushtar pasim. Shtar pasim is evidently a shtar that was written to make it look like somebody had spent a lot of money for something that he didn't, to give him a better social standing, make him look rich. I mean, these are both shtarot that say things that even either aren't going to happen or haven't yet happened. What's that? That's a shtar that's already been paid off. So if somebody says a shtar parua is something you shouldn't keep around, Kolshkin shtar mana, certainly a shtar mana you shouldn't keep around, because a shtar mana was never valid. A shtar parua was once valid. Mandamar shtar mana, but if somebody says that a shtar mana is a sinful thing, a shtar parua lu, a shtar parua you're allowed to hold on to. Why? The zinu demashu apshiti gasav sifra. Remember, the loba is the one who has to pay the sofer to write the shtar. And as a result of that, perhaps the malva is holding on, even though it's been fully paid up, to make sure that the sofer gets paid also, and until the loba pays the last penny, including what he owes to the Beit Din, he will hold on to the shtar perua. So at least there's some decent reason why the malva would be holding on to a shtar perua. So we will continue this in Yirtzeh Hashem in the next year and get up to the Mishnah on Daf Chaf Amud Bet. Everyone should have a wonderful day.